B-Pod Studios.
On the Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bob Sosi is going to join us at 8:20. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. If you're lucky, Joe Murray will be on the show talking to you. All right, so Rich, what's going on?
I'm very disappointed in you, Fred. The reason is that, so I just got back from the trip that we took, and ultimately our goal was we were driving, my family and I and our dog, all the way down to Panama City, Florida, to visit Mary's sister, who she has not seen in over 2 years. So along the way, to keep ourselves from going crazy, we planned a bunch of places to stop. And Fred, at one point, I could have probably thrown a baseball to where you were staying. We had to go through, of course, the great state of Tennessee. I am extremely disappointed that in all your years going to visit your parents, that you have never gone to the hillbilly paradise that is Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
I have not. My children have been there. I refuse to go. I will not go to Pigeon Forge.
How far away is that from where you stay?
An hour.
Okay.
It is Las Vegas for hillbillies.
That is a little off the beaten path. So you were taking 75 at that point and then went on 40?
So we were coming down from... Oh, I don't know. I mean, it was someplace in Pennsylvania, we'd say that. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We had driven, and along the way, we were trying to stay in, like, you know, houses and not hotels and Airbnbs and stuff like that. So trying to find a place around Pigeon Forge, I was like, all right, well, I'll just get, like, a cabin. So I went online, and I found this place with the cabins. They just showed the outside of it in, like, one room, and I'm like, all right, well, this looks perfectly fine. We ended up getting there really late, like about 1 in the morning we got there. And when we checked in, I immediately walked in and I said, I am so glad my children are asleep right now so they do not have to see what they're about to sleep in.
Oh, is this the place with the tub in the room?
I mean, you want class. I get up to the bedroom and my wife and I walk in, and smack dab right in the middle of the bedroom is a hot tub whirlpool with a really classy fireplace next to it. And
it's
about
a humping tub.
Yeah.
And the residue of 1,000 redneck humpers.
Yeah.
That's a porn shoot is what that is. Yes.
That's a night of watching Dolly sing the hits and then coming back.
And
you
right,
can do your own run.
And right next to it, a whole bunch of paintings of little children who are angels.
Well, that's what you're making.
Heavens.
You're making little angels.
Right. It's like, you know, you need a little heaven inspiration. Yeah, there's the table, little bathtub right there, which is super sexy. Kept the clothes on for that one, of course. Didn't even take a shower. Just I'm sleeping my clothes and waking up.
Right.
But Fred, one thing I like to do at every place that I stopped was I always wanted to turn on the TV just to kind of find out what the local commercials are and what's going on locally. If you kind of just want to get a vibe of what Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is all about, Fred, this is one of the commercials running locally.
The Hatfields and McCoys, two of the Smoky Mountains' most notorious families, invite you to an evening of feuding and feasting that will stick to your ribs and tickle them too. You'll love the singing and dancing, mighty feats of strength, jaw-dropping stunts, and side-splitting comedy. The Hatfield and McCoy Dinner Show in Pigeon Forge. All-you-can-eat dinner and all-you-can-handle family fun. Buy your tickets, choose a side, and let the feasting and feuding begin.
Yeah, the feats of strength. Not often you'll see something advertised featuring feats of strength.
And I think that was just a guy that when you walked in said, I bet I could pick you up.
Yeah, that sounds like there's a lot of fireworks being lit off. These are commercials I've probably seen and just tried to put into the just to try not to focus.
That's it. The Insane Clown Posse was from Tennessee.
This is the place. This is the place that had the Lee Greenwood Theater, where Lee Greenwood would perform "God Bless the USA" 5 times,
and you would sit there and pay $40 to do it, and then he would just do it over and over again. Fred,
so the idea of this place is that you would pick a side. You would be either the Hatfields or the McCoys.
Sure, right.
And then I wonder how many fights there's been after this show of people going at it because, like, they start to really get into it, and like, now I'm a McCoy.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, listen, if they really want to take it to the next level, right next door was Paula Deen's lumberjack match, which was a place where you could watch people
is that
fight.
True?
Which, oh, yeah. It's Paula Deen.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's called Paula Deen's lumberjack match. Yeah.
So it's older fat chicks, like, climbing a ladder? Like, what was the lumberjack match? Lumberjack match.
Paula Deen.
So Paula Deen apparently makes the really delicious fatty fried chicken they eat while you get to watch two guys beat the snot out of each other with chainsaws.
Wait, a lumberjack match? What is a lumberjack match in wrestling? That's when you have to climb the ladder, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's tables, ladders, and chairs.
No, the lumberjack.
All right.
Lumberjack match, I don't know. You got to wear flannel, I know that.
I'll look it up.
There is something called a lumberjack match.
I do believe it is, but in this case...
What's the hotline?
It was a bunch of dudes with chainsaws who would, like, you know, see who could, like, saw through this log the fastest, and then they would, like, fight each other with chainsaws. And
okay.
I'm in.
A lumberjack match, apparently a standard match with the exception that the ring is surrounded by a group of wrestlers not directly involved in it. That's what it says here. I don't... Well,
they
why
watch.
Lumberjack? Jack.
They shame you. They tease you unmercifully.
There are billboards everywhere.
Dusty Rhodes used to break down every time they had a lumberjack match because they'd make fun of his man bosom.
There's two things there. There's two themes that are bigger than anything, though, in Gatlinburg and in Pigeon Forge. Theme number one would be God. If you could tie God into anything, a religion, it was a huge hit. As a matter of fact, there's this place that was called Parrot World that had a big billboard. And Parrot World, it said, "See our parrots sing Amazing Grace." And then it said, "The Duggars love Parrot World."
Oh, well, that's pedophile.
Yeah, do you remember the Duggars?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that family that had a ton of kids where the guy got arrested recently for child porn.
He's
not taking the billboard down.
He's gotten a lot of hot water. That's one isolated incident. So yeah,
and pedophiles love our parents.
But you have to, you have to appreciate there are a lot of Duggars. A,
sure.
One was going to go off the reservation, and B, the price of redoing the sign.
Yeah,
just because. I mean, it's not like Subway got rid of all the Jared stuff.
No, that's right. On top of that, right outside of town, Fred, I saw this billboard. I don't know if you saw this as you were driving around.
I do as little driving as possible.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. This was just outside of town. This was actually, in fairness, this was, I think, in Alabama, so in northern Alabama.
Oh, to avoid amputation, call me. Okay.
What?
What? Is it a doctor's office?
It's a guy's face on a billboard.
I'll sew anything on you.
It says to avoid amputation, call me. And then I say, who wouldn't call that?
Well,
I don't want to be amputated.
Well, I'll sew anything on you. You want a cool bowling ball or something? I'll put it on you.
I mean, do you know how many people have to be amputated in that town for him to put out a billboard?
Again,
like, that's a real problem.
That's fireworks accident.
You know, you can more than make your money back for the billboard. It's important, yeah.
I guess so, but I mean, this guy hopefully is, you know, doing well for himself.
He's got scrubs on. I mean, you can tell he's a doctor.
He does, but Fred, I think the other thing, I said, you know, that religion is one deal, and obviously amputation is another, but the other thing that is a massive theme there is they love their weapons. And Fred, there is about a quarter mile stretch of road that I just call kick-ass way. Take a look at what they got here, Fred.
All right. This.
What kind of store is that?
Well, it says Sports and Burgers, and it's got... it's got weapons of the gallant knights of the round table.
Ninja swords, Chinese stars.
The throwing star. Oh, you got to have throwing stars.
Plenty of throwing stars.
Got to have those.
That is actually... there is a gun... that shoots like foot long darts. What are you going to do with that thing? And then there's walking poles.
That's a blow dart. They have blow guns.
Poles?
They have blow guns there.
No. This is a gun with a trigger.
Okay, all right. I see.
But
that
you know, it's like street legal because it just shoots darts. But seriously, I zoomed in on it. That's a foot long dart.
Yeah, it's a foot long dart. There was many other like that. There was black cat swords, knives, martial arts. And so, Fred,
martial arts. Well, while you're in Pigeon Forge, you might as well take a lesson. Sharpen your skills. That would be fun for like 10 minutes.
Oh, well, Fred, I went to the Yelp reviews for the China Bazaar, which is the name of the one I just showed you.
Okay.
Here. Would you like to hear some of the Yelp reviews of the China Bazaar?
It's like being in Beijing. It's every store right there. Yes.
It was a trip to the Orient.
Absolutely.
This is from Stacey Walker. Don't do business with these people. My teenage son bought a knife, which broke the same night. He went back with a receipt and tried to exchange. They wouldn't let him exchange it. However, they offered to sell him another knife for half price, and thankfully, he knew better. Let me add, he was on a youth retreat, so I was not with him.
A youth retreat? So he bought a knife to a youth retreat?
Yes,
he bought a knife at a Christian youth retreat.
And broke it.
And broke it.
So it's not like he just bought it and was looking at it. I mean, he was...
Sure.
He was using it. It breaks on bone.
Oh,
It can't chop through flesh real good.
JT put a review. Cheap inferior products from communist China.
The China flu.
Moon Solis, that's apparently a real name, said, don't make fun of a customer's hat in front of them and then proceed to upsell a clearance item. You're not the only store selling knives, just the tackiest on the strip. That's bad business 101.
Right. I mean, if you're going to make fun of my darn Seagull's hat, I mean, you're going to laugh in a not ironic way.
They should change the name. It's not a store of Chinese culture, but instead a knife and sword shop. Because that's why I was walking in. Ooh, what is this Chinese bazaar?
Yeah, I know. This is like everywhere you go in China is just chock full of cheap weaponry.
Alan Davis wrote, seems like I'd used to have more stuff for little ones.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What stuff would that be exactly?
Little knives. Ones that they can easily handle. Not some big old sword. I mean, my four-year-old can barely lift the damn thing.
Okay. I mean, these are just great. Casey Hardman says, I paid $50 for a nice-looking balisong, but when I got home and did one trick with it...
Oh, my God. These people are real.
It broke the metal piece holding the knife together, and the knife chopped up my finger as the pieces fell to the floor.
I did one trick with it. One single solitary knife trick.
These people have cars and boat and everything.
Can you imagine?
My God.
Can you imagine spending 1 hour working at that store?
Oh, Eddie Dixon.
They're trying to. Those morons trying to return that garbage that you're selling them.
Eddie Dixon said, "My son turned 12. All he wanted was to go to the knife works on his birthday and get his collectible knives. The man at the counter was so rude." Every time he asked to go look at one of the man mumbled under stuff under his breath and pissed and moaned about helping him. Totally embarrassed my son. Here it was, his only birthday wish to go to Knife Works never again.
Well, I mean, that's on you for just fulfilling his every fantasy.
Just left Bud's in Sevierville. Was all set to check out, buying a Ruger and some odds and ends.
a gun and a loaf of bread and some jelly.
Some knickknacks and guns.
Yeah, I bought some thumbtacks, scotch tape, and this Ruger.
That's right. You bought a Ruger, but the morning stars, the Chinese stars are like
some odds and ends.
Yeah.
Large young girl with long brown hair at the counter.
Yeah, they're notorious for the fatties over at the Chinese waterworks.
Called herself Janice, in quotes, snapped at me and told me to go stand in line. There was no line. I don't take Merdy, M-E-R-D-E, very well.
That's right, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Cancel the
Merit. Merit is French for...
Oh, yes. Using some French words in here.
French word. Merit is S is French for S.
Oh, well, I apologize to our French listeners.
I canceled the purchase. I don't want to be treated that way. I could always call my ex-wife.
Well, a little homegrown comedy, homespun comedy at the end of that.
And then James Snyder says, my wife and I went to Bud's Gun Shop in Sevierville. Couples date night tonight.
Oh, my God.
And all I have to say is, what a damn joke. I never thought in my life I would be treated as bad as we were tonight at Bud's.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing they're still in business.
As opposed to all the places that treat you very well.
Yes.
When you take your date night to the gun shop. All right, well... I'm glad you got to experience Pigeon Forge.
Another thing they're big into, bubblegum wine.
Really?
Oh, cotton candy wine is the other one, too.
Oh, that they've doesn't. That's like edible underwear. That doesn't seem like something you would actually consume. Did they. Did you go by the water park?
I know the water park's like this one. That is that's for the little child for the
It's a baby tee that says never apologize for Southern pride with the Confederate flag.
That's from the Little Racist collection.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's better just to.
Did you see this one?
Oh, what is that from 30 years ago? That's from the Malcolm X premiere?
Yeah, it says...
You wear your ex, I'll wear my ex, and it's the Confederate flag. Back when everyone was very mad at Spike Lee for making a Malcolm X movie. But a historical figure. All right, Bob Sosi will join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, yeah. And like, oh yeah. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Bob Sosi is the voice of the New England Patriots on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Patriots Radio Network. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Fresh off a sit down with Mr. Bill Belichick. Bob Sosi, how did the sit down go?
It went well for Zone Me in preparation for TV, but I apologize sincerely and as profusely as I can to you guys.
No, that's fine.
I'm so sorry.
I thought it was just some stupid Zoom
like
conference
meeting with
call.
The press. Yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of like, eh. But then when I realized it was just you and Zoe with the man in charge, I had to tip my cap to you and say, well, listen, we all don't get these opportunities. Was he in good spirits?
Yeah, he was pretty expansive with us, all things considered. He was, we didn't get into, a lot of the specifics with regards to personnel and, the strategy tomorrow in terms of.
Why not? He would have been so open. Why did you not attack that?
An expansive answer. Yeah.
But he was very helpful in terms of giving us, I think, pretty good knowledge to go into tomorrow's game with.
What is your because they play tomorrow night? You can hear that here. What is the plan? Do you think in terms of starters for this first game?
I think it's been pretty consistent around the league based on what coaches have said, including Ron Rivera for Washington. And would be consistent with the way the Patriots have distributed their reps thus far in practice. I think this first game with three games on the schedule and having had only four padded practices to this point, that they've kind of been ramping up the physical activity later and slower than usual. And I think tomorrow's an important step for as many players, if not all the healthy players, to at least get some activity. There might be a couple of guys, perhaps a Devin McCourty, for example, that doesn't get out on the field tomorrow for the Patriots. But I expect that they're going to try to utilize as many guys as they can. And another thing, too, we didn't talk about this. I'm curious about the conditions. They haven't really practiced in extreme heat at all. In fact, even anything approaching extreme heat here in Foxborough thus far this year. And it's going to be 100 degrees with a heat index on the artificial surface. I'm just curious how guys are going to hold up. I know this team conditions well, better than a lot of other teams around the league, it seems. But
how is that?
Really interesting test.
How what do they do different than other teams in terms of conditioning?
When you talk to other players that come to the Patriots for the first time, and you hear this every year from guys early in camp, they don't run, they have that conditioning hill behind the practice field. And I think players just don't run in some other camps as much as they do here. It's in a lot of cases, there's the conditioning that you do off season. And then when you get to training camp, it's really about getting into football shape. Hearing guys, particularly going through their first camp with the Patriots, often they talk about, boy, I knew we were going to run a lot, but I didn't expect to run this much or something along those lines. So I do think that, they get on that conditioning hill. And you also see two guys that, they're running laps for penalties or, for mistakes, fumbles, mishandled snaps, et cetera. out on the field, and you know they're not sprinting in those laps, but nonetheless, I think you know they do that more in the Patriots camp than they do elsewhere.
Is there
another adjustment for new guys?
Is there a whole lot of? I mean, because you talk about how it's different than other camps, but that's changed. I mean, is it still to the point where? Like players are complaining because it almost seems like the whole philosophy of Bill Belichick over the last couple of years has been, as you know, we joke, it's chill Belichick. Are you still getting a feeling that the players still think that this is tougher than all of the other camps even now?
I do, Rich. I do. I think relative to other places, you know, generally speaking, the Belichick tree, I mean, you hear it from New York in particular, I think three or four Giants players have retired. And you know, with Joe Judge's personality, too, you know, that may be a factor because he's, you know, so...
he's a moron. They have their starting quarterback underneath a pile of guys fighting.
But everything's okay. It was great team building.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean... It's funny. Like, I was listening to Ted Johnson on the way to practice the other day, and Ted was talking about what he played. I mean, you report to camp like the first day you're in pads, full pads, the first day of training camp in the morning, and then you're in your shoulder pads. Basically, you're doing the same thing in the afternoon, and that's the schedule for the entire week. So I'm sure.
Oh, I'm pissed if I'm his generation. If I'm Ted's generation, I'm pissed at what
they
are.
Two-a-days and pads. All of them are.
Troy Brown was pissed.
Exactly.
Yep. He was pissed, and Ted's pissed. Basically, anyone from that generation that we've talked to is like, I can't believe it. And a lot of them are pissed that it could have extended their careers a little bit longer if they didn't have to beat the snot out of each other year after year after year.
Well, it certainly would have. Absolutely.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, think about all the things, what they didn't know about the long-term effects. You know, again, you said this, the scheduling would have extended their careers. The playing surfaces, you know, those guys that had to play on the concrete, basically, in places like
Silverdome, the Vest
Stadium. Absolutely.
Silverdome was Silverdome. I mean, I played on the Silverdome field. It was concrete with artificial turf on it.
That same way,
All right. Go ahead, Johnny. Oh, if you're going to have your hand up, you might as well ask a question.
Bob, the passing offense is so important to this team simply because they almost had nothing in passing game last year. And you have Nelson Agholor, who probably won't play tomorrow night because he's missed, what, five of the last six practices? And you have one tight end that's already dinged. So, I mean, how much – what is there to look forward to here tomorrow night? Because regardless of who's out there, Cam or Mac, it's really important this develops quickly.
Well, two things I would say. You know, one, how does the offensive line block and how do the quarterbacks stand in the pocket or move in the pocket against the defensive line of Washington? That's the one thing. You look at the Washington football team's defensive front.
Very good.
It's number one draft choices across the board.
Very good.
And you know, with Young and Sweat in particular, you know, if those guys play more than a series or two, it's going to be interesting to me, or even, you know, just in a very limited time. How does the Patriots line hold up against them pass blocking? How do the quarterbacks handle what we expect them to face against Washington? I mean, they're going to keep it basic. There's not going to be a lot of blitzing, I'm sure, and aggressive play. These teams, you know, the two coaches are very familiar with one another in the preseason. Belichick talked about it yesterday. So he knows Ron Rivera is not going to throw a lot of, you know, extravagant blitzes at his defense. I mean, at his offense. But nonetheless, they're going to be a physical football team. They're going to be well coached, and they're going up against some really good players defensively. And then I think the other part of it, John, is we've seen some receivers, in particular N'Keal Harry, get off to a good start in camp. But now they're going against DBs from another team. And in Washington is pretty solid in that area as well. So are they going to get open? Are they going to be able to make plays, you know, the way they have? And that's one of the things I think really bears watching, especially next week in Philadelphia with the joint practices and then in the game and in the joint practices the third week. You know, we've seen some stuff in camp consistently from Harry. You mentioned Agholor, who I thought had a good first week, but before he got hurt, you know, was less involved, it seemed. You know, and you know, Kendrick Bourne has been consistent for this team. Wilkerson put his name in the mix, but was plagued by some drops the last two or three practices. You know, the tight end, Johnny Smith, dynamic of the ball in his hands. Is there another guy? Does Matt Lacoste, you know, play well to give them a reliable third option at that position, again, in case Hunter Henry continues to be banged up? So I mean, I think those are all factors.
I think that one storyline that is going to be worth keeping an eye on at the beginning of the season, as we all try to figure out, and I'm sure Belichick tries to figure out who is going to be the starting quarterback,
is going to be the, I guess, lack of information, but one can infer that Mac Jones is vaccinated and Cam Newton is not. And the reason being, whatever about like whether you someone wants to get another choice or something like that. The difference is, if Cam Newton ends up being in close contact with somebody or testing positive, which a lot of these players are testing positive, he's out for 10 days, which means that's two games, and he could potentially lose his starting job if that happens.
Right. This year won't take much.
So right. So if he's the guy at the beginning of the season and he happens to get COVID, then that could be the thing that makes Mac Jones the starter.
That's the Mo Lewis hit.
And I, what's that?
Rich,
Bob, give your opinion on the vaccine. Yeah. Bob, go and make a polarizing opinion.
I do have strong opinions, and I should disclose that my wife is a medical professional, and in the past has had her encounters online, at least, with anti-vaxxers. So, take that into account. But I think Rich's point is more than valid, and it's one that, I've thought of too. Look at last year. I mean, Cam even said it in that podcast that he did with Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson.
How the hell did you find that thing?
last year, right? As he said in that sit down, and it did get a lot of attention for a very short time, Fred. Yeah, he had to get sidelined because of the COVID test, and the train kept moving, and he never really caught up. Well, if that truly was the case, you said he's in jeopardy. Even if you're asymptomatic, if you're unvaccinated, you get pulled for a longer period of time. And, if that happens, it very well could open the door. I mean, we saw Lamar Jackson last week for the Ravens.
Look at Justin Herbert.
Second time in 8 months, Jeffy.
But look at Justin Herbert with the Tyrod Taylor injury. I mean, this could you could point to not getting vaccinated as a business. This is business.
Yeah, once again,
this is business. You could point to him not being vaccinated as the end of his career. I mean, you could point to that because if
he loses his job, if he has to sit out for it would be two games because of that, and Mac Jones comes in and does well, Fred's right. That might be the end of him as a starting quarterback
Herbert,
in the NFL.
It's Tom Brady. It's you've seen it a million times in the NFL. It's really short-sighted, and I can only imagine being an agent who relies on these guys' salaries to make my money, trying to go. You have these preconceptions, or you have these questions, and you go, okay, let's say all those questions are valid. Here is something that we know, that you could lose your job.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yeah, and there's the other thing, and I think this often gets overlooked when people get into this debate online, as much as I try to stay out of that. Look, it's also something that makes your job a lot harder, even if you are able to continue to do your job, because of the protocols in the NFL. You have to meet virtually instead of in person. You have to eat separately. You have to travel separately. Think about if you're vaccinated and you can pop. As I understand it, I may be wrong about this, but my understanding is that you got a question. You can sit down face to face with a coach in the meeting room and go over things. As opposed to text messaging and virtual learning. And I think that over the course of a season, that could be a factor just in terms of the degree of difficulty doing your job. And then again, especially with traveling separately, eating apart from your teammates, just the day-to-day routine, getting tested daily. And all the NFLPA is looking for daily testing for all players now. But I mean, just all those inconveniences that make your job more challenging.
And look at the percentage of the NFL that has been vaccinated, and it will tell you right there that, that proves the point is because it's far vastly higher percentage than
general population.
They're
like 90% now, isn't it?
Right.
Because
of these reasons.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Bob Soucy, thank you so much for the time, sir. We look forward to hearing the call on tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for patience.
All right, we appreciate it. I was looking at Bill Belichick's house because every time I hear that he was at Gillette at like 7:30 in the morning, I go, I wonder where this rascal lives.
What part of town? Does he live in Foxborough?
This says he lives in Hingham.
Okay.
South Shore. He has to be on
Route
the
three.
Road. He has to be on the road when we're on the road.
Because Route 3 sucks 24 hours a day, so.
I wonder if he has homeless people who throw themselves on top of his car in the early hours of the morning. because he is, that is not an easy ride.
Yeah, that's
full,
so fun.
He is a full 30 miles.
Hingham is not an easy ride to anywhere.
You know what's interesting is my parents, my son played baseball for this team while he was down there. He had met a kid during COVID and blah, 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 blah. And my father took him. So, because my father, this is my father's like, youth baseball. And so, but I go, where is it? And he go, it's 25 miles away. And I'd be going, you're out of your mind. You're going to take him there? No, you go, yeah, why? It's 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
25 miles, 25 minutes.
That's almost any state that's like south of, you know, the Mason-Dixon line. You're driving 25 miles in 25 minutes.
Like, how funny is it? Like, Hingham to Gillette is 29 miles, and it's like, whoo.
An hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
Like, I can't believe you're actually, like, I don't know if I would date a girl that lived
in food
Hingham.
And water.
That's the thing. I mean, if you have to leave Hingham at 7:30 in the morning, it's going to take you maybe an hour and a half, an hour 45 to get to Foxborough.
Like, if you're on, like, because I live in Newton, if I was on Tinder and or whatever you use now, and there was a girl in Hingham, like, would that even match me up, or would it be considered like another planet?
Yeah. The eyes will be on the moon.
Good point. Yeah, it's like in the Seinfeld when Kramer had to go across town and ended up being like a Midnight Cowboy. All right, not Midnight Cowboy. Midnight Cowboy, which was the one with Dustin Hoffman.
It's Midnight Cowboy. Yeah, that's the one with him and John Voight.
Yeah.
And they're just a couple hustlers.
Mm-hmm. Ratso Rizzo, right? Wasn't that his name?
Yep. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. The Bill Belichick house looks very large. It is not, but it's not overly impressive.
But he's on a golf course. He's on Black Rock Drive.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but the one in Nantucket that he lives in, it's in this kind of quiet area called Sconset. And what he did was, I guess when he first got some money, he bought like it's kind of a small little house. And then instead of like moving into a bigger house, when a house that was on his street would go for sale, he would buy it. So he owns like, it's not like a big house. It's like three small houses that he's the owner of. It's like a complex.
It's funny because I looked up his house and Nantucket comes up first. So I looked at that and there's like an inn right there, like basically in his front yard. And or maybe it's a street over, but I just wonder if I should stay at the inn and then why for him to ride his bike.
I think he owns that. I don't think it's an inn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You bought it?
That's part of the complex.
Yeah, so he owns, it's like the house next to him, then his, and then one across the street. And none of them are that big.
That is a very rich guy thing. The inn is the Wade Cottages.
Oh, see, I don't know what that is. So maybe someone bought it and is renting it out and...
Because if I stay at the Wade Cottages, I'm basically, he's right by a tennis court. I'm basically just sitting there with a sleeve of balls, just saying like, when are we going to start hitting the yellow fuzzies around?
Sure, right? He's next to the Sconset Casino, they call it, even though there's no gambling at all.
Oh, is that like the Detroit Athletic Club where there's no athletic equipment?
Yeah,
it's just a place to gamble.
It's basically tennis courts in a big open room, the Sconset Casino.
Ah, that's pronounced Sconset.
Yeah, Sias Sconset is the, but they call it Sconset.
The Sconset Casino Association is indeed right there, filled with tennis courts.
Yep, he's right there on these three little houses. None of them are big. It's just three little.
There's also a restroom. Right in that area. It's a restroom.
There is a public restroom. It's a little tiny little area.
I wonder if you can just wait for him to take a dump.
He could. You know? Get there with a sit there with a marker and you just go, hey, could you sign this?
It's It's weird that you can just Google someone and then their house is up there.
It is weird.
And it tells you where they are. So I'm not telling you anything that you couldn't do yourself. I'm not giving you any info that you wouldn't have on your own.
No.
But you're right. He purchased a 3,000 square foot Nantucket home in 2006 for $4.6 million. Often criticized for his strange tactics, Belichick understood the importance of winning by any means necessary, it says here. I don't know why, but it's a 3,000 square foot home for $4.6 million. The real estate there, very expensive.
That seems bigger than I thought it was.
He probably did the basement.
That could be it.
Or made a sunroom, put like a couch in the sunroom.
That might have been the case.
That adds some square footage right there.
Yeah.
So that's a very rich guy thing to do when you can just buy up the land around you.
Yeah, he didn't want any ne'er-do-wells living next to him.
There's a very particular class of, like, Ernie Bach Jr. over there where he is. He bought up a bunch of land. Like, whenever anything would go on sale, he would buy the land up.
You know who Belichick's best buddy is out there? Is Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, the ex-coach of the Cowboys. The clapper.
The clapper.
That's right, the official clapper.
So Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Now, does he have private plane money? Because he's got a... Well, Jason Garrett now is with the Giants because he wanted... Jason Garrett was very smart. During one of his first press conferences, he told the New York media to call him coach.
Yeah.
Which the New York media was like, sure, we'll call you coach. Yeah, they went nuts.
How many? Because Jason Garrett, I think, had a shocking amount of years as head coach.
10 years.
Of the Cowboys, yeah. Because
he was forever mediocre, and for some reason, Jerry Jones wouldn't fire him.
And how much money do you think he made per year there?
Maybe five, six? So, I mean, he's got to be... I mean, it's worth at least like $60 million, you would think.
Because if he was traveling from $6 million per, so $60 million minus the, your agent only gets 4%.
Yeah.
So
him and Belichick, like, they're buddies. Like, I know a ton of people who've seen them together. Like, they, like, almost like vacation together. They hang out.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a place, I guess, near Belichick. It's a kind of a weird friendship. Seeing that one's a good coach and one sucks.
Well, you just don't understand. He's an X's and O's guy.
Apparently I don't, yeah. I mean, it was
he charmed Jimmy Johnson.
He did. Or Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, I mean, that was the one guy other than, of course, Marvin Lewis, who for years you're like, is this going to be the year the guy gets fired? And then continued to stay and stay and stay and stay. Marvin Lewis might be the best example of that.
Or at least Marvin Lewis made the playoffs regularly.
Yeah,
but always lose.
But, I mean, Jason Garrett wasn't even that good.
One year. What was that, the year that they made the playoffs and then they...
The playoffs one year.
And Tony Romo fumbled the snap.
Yeah, yes. There was the year the league handed them the game against the Lions.
Ah, so they had one playoff win and they made the playoffs twice. I could be wrong about that.
I have to take a look. Did Dak Prescott make the playoffs? Did he make the playoffs as the quarterback?
Two playoff coaching wins for Garrett. I'll look up
two wins. Okay, so he's had two wins.
I think Roma might have had one, which was a loss, which has been... Well, you're laughing, but it's true.
Well, because that's the very famous flag that's thrown and then picked back up again.
Flags that's one flag? That was the one where they had to admit they were cheating.
Well, we had the
Pettigrew.
We had Mike Pereira on, right? And didn't he? Yeah. Was it Mike Pereira? Yeah, and he said that... Well, he didn't admit it, but he didn't discount it. That's right.
9.5 years as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. 4-8-8 seasons and 1-9-7.
Good for him.
There you go. That's what it'll get you. $70 million in a house in Wisconsin.
So $70 million after it's all said and done, is that private plane money?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about buying your own plane, but you could fly private anytime you wanted to. Yeah.
Okay, so you would fly private, because I would imagine if you're in Dallas and you want to spend any time in Nantucket, worth certainly having a house there.
I wonder if he lives there.
A private plane.
I bet he probably lives in New York now.
Well, now he would live in New York.
Yeah.
But if he had bought property in Nantucket before that, he was in Dallas. So I would imagine that would require a private plane.
I would think so.
To get any use of that house.
Although, is Jason Garrett getting bothered on an airplane?
No,
I'm talking about getting to Nantucket, though. Oh. Like getting there, you know, not going through Boston and all that. The convenience of it. Because if you're buying a house somewhere, I would imagine that you'd want to spend a significant amount of time there.
Mm-hmm. I would think that you know, you would more than likely take a private plane because you don't want to be bothered. I don't think Jason Garrett would really. I think even Dallas Cowboys fans wouldn't even want to talk to him.
It's just a private plane would fly you from Denver to Nantucket. Yeah, well, I mean, like just, the worst case scenario is they think you're the redheaded kid from Penn State.
That could be it, or the singer of Queens of the Stone Age.
I just got a text from a buddy of mine who works at Hanscom Air Force Base. He tells me that the cost to charter a private jet on average is like $6,000 an hour.
Yeah, there's like a program now, though. I've seen this. Like you can be a member, and you have to pay a yearly membership, and then you have a private plane at your disposal, but then you have to pay like per hour
flat
for your
fees
thing.
Are different. Yeah,
I would like that to if only to put my picture on Instagram.
Yeah.
Of me in the family.
Like you would
flying to wine country.
Like Big Baby. You just add the chicken right in and, you know.
Big Baby was on the world's smallest private plane. That seems like a nightmare.
That's probably a $2,000 an hour deal. Yeah.
That Big Baby was on a plane, and Big Baby's obviously a very tall and large individual. In his head, he had to like lean his head down while he was seated.
Yes.
I would much rather fly commercially any day of the week than if you get me on some private plane
but
that
the
I can't
kicker
even
is,
sit in.
He's showing off. It's like, yo, private plane.
No, it seems
he's like all together.
A nightmare of claustrophobia.
Yeah, I know.
No, that was a that did not give you the impression of living in
exactly
living
luxury.
In any kind of luxury. I've never been on a private plane. I've never flown on one. My wife has one time. I've never flown on a private plane. I've never been afforded that luxury. And I've never even gone up in a plane with some guy that says, look, I can fly a plane.
You ever done a pole jumper before? Like one that's got like seven people in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been on a seaplane before.
Yeah.
You fly to the Cape, right? That's basically what you're on.
I was sitting in the front one time because they just randomly, I guess, by weight.
I did that.
Like, I sat in the front one time. And what's intimidating is that the pilot to your left has the thing he pulls, you know, whatever it's called, the steering wheel, for lack of a better term. But there's one in front of you. So whenever he moves it, yours moves too and like turns.
Yeah.
And so the one time I was sitting in the front, we had taken off. We're in the air for maybe about 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, I see this from the corner of my eye. This bird just like almost like
stuttering and going to Curry College,
and then yes, B to the R to the R to the D, and then this thing hits the windshield of the plane and it blows up like a snowball.
Oh.
And right in front of me is the tiniest crack that the bird's face had made.
Turn this thing around,
and we had to land like immediately because this bird, it was like blood and feathers everywhere right in front of me.
See, when I found it comforting, I was on a Cape Air flight. Now they had canceled 45 of them before I finally got on one. But it was a Cape Air flight. That one time I've been to Nantucket in my entire life, and they sat me next to the pilot, and I found it comforting because you're only like, you know, 300 yards in the air. Barely in the air. I always figured, like, if he had to, he could just glide the thing down.
Oh, and watching the landing is awesome. Like, that's one thing, because, you know, you're in an airplane. You can't see from the front yourself landing. But sitting out there, that's a legitimately cool thing.
Yeah. So I have been on the puddle jumper. I've been on a seaplane in the Keys. I've never, ever been on a private plane, though. I've been... You used to fly to Key West. You used to have to take a seaplane. That's how old I am, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.